Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to have to do a little introduction for Coach Lopez. A friend of mine, Kevin Nichols, he goes to Grace Church, and he said the coach was going to come over and speak to a men's barbecue that they have. And he wanted to know if I'd like to come. I go, sure, you know, that'd be great. And so I asked Gabe and Steve Allen if they'd like to go with me, so we went. I've always been a baseball fan. I've always lived in Arizona. Didn't quite know what he was going to speak on. And so, you know, I didn't know whether he, and I know he communicated well or good. And he's a great coach. So I was just anxious to go hear him speak. Well, when I got there, you know, like I said, I didn't know what he was going to speak on. I didn't know if he was going to give us some secret signs. So I didn't know what was going to happen. But when I got there, I was just blown away with his testimony. It was just so awesome. He's just a man of God, and you can just tell just the way, you know, the way he speaks to you, and he's just a caring person. And speaking with him about 10 minutes over here before this, I feel like I've known him forever. He just that genuine person. And like I said, told Pastor, I said, Pastor, you know, this guy's, we need to have him come if he will. And he said, yeah. So we went ahead and we called Kevin, and through Kevin, Coach Lopez goes, sure, you know, I'll come over. I'd be honored. You know, he's just that kind of guy. And so we're just, we're truly blessed today by this man. And I'm glad that you all are here to hear from him. And so I just let him take it away from here.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, I am honored, truly honored, and I Sunday mornings are challenging for me. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm usually more of a Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, because I know that this is a special day. It's a day where we gather and honor the God that has literally provided for us, given us salvation, given us hope, given us all that we have, and gives us hope in difficult situations. And if there's one thing I've come to understand after 65 years of life is that I don't know anybody in my life, not one person, sister, brother, neighbor, four children, co-workers. I don't know anybody that I really don't get to know. I mean, I pass by and say hello to a lot of people. That's kind of been my life. You know, you go in and out of different towns. I've coached in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Alaska. Born and raised in Los Angeles, coached at the University of Florida, University of Arizona. So you run across a lot of people. Yeah, there you go, the Wildcats, right? But when I really get to know someone, like my neighbors, Mike and Grace, my other neighbor, you know, Teresa, I come to one real truth, and I'm at the top of this list. Everyone that I know is broken, and everyone that I know is waiting for something. Everybody. I'm waiting for something, diligently waiting for something. I'm broken. I have things in my life that the Lord is still working on, and I'm thankful that He's patient with me. So I take this day on Sunday, because this is a special day, very seriously, and I would ask you, please pray with me before we start, okay? Father, again, I thank you, Father, and the words that I speak, Father, are solely to you, Father. I do not want to be in any way, shape, or form, Father, anything other than a vessel for you to minister, Father, to someone, Lord. If it's just one soul, Father, just one soul that's not sure. If it's just one soul, Father, that just is losing hope. If it's just one soul, Father, that has drifted away from you. Father, I pray, Father, that you'll be that I will be a vessel, that you'll minister to that person, Father. And again, draw them back to you, Father, and draw them to the only life they can have on this challenging earth. Speak your word, Father God. Holy Spirit, speak clearly, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Numbers 23, chapter 23 in the book of Numbers, verse 19. I think they said they're going to put it on the screen. Is it on the screen? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. It's good. That's why I'm at the point now I'm reading glasses. I'm good. But I want to read it to you in a different term. It's Numbers 23:19. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you in two. The New American Standard is basically Numbers 23:19. It says, excuse me, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Now, there's a version that I've been reading lately. My sister bought me a Bible a few years ago, and I'm going to read the New Living Translation, which I kind of like. Numbers 23:19. Okay? Now, ready? Listen to this. God is not a man so that he does not lie. God is not a man so that he does not lie. Do you believe that? Don't answer that. Do you believe that? Because you know what? There was a time in my life where I wasn't sure. I'll be real honest. There was a time in my life where I'm not. God is not a man, so he does not lie. Okay? He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Do you believe that? Because there was a time when I wasn't, you know, maybe God's changing his mind on this. Maybe I heard this, but maybe he's changing his mind on that. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has God ever spoken? You know, the word of God in Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The prayer that we all pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So again, has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised? That's the one for me. I don't know about you, but that's the one for me. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Has God ever promised something and not carried it through? Psalms 84:11. I've lived on Psalms 84:11 for 39 years. This coming September will be the 40th year that I bowed and said, "Father God, I'm yours. I'm yours." I'll give you a little bit about my background in a second, but I'm yours. You do whatever you want with me, Father. You do whatever you want with me. It'll be 40 years this September. Psalm 84:11 says, The Lord is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold to those whose walk is faithful. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." So it's basically Andy Lopez reads daily. Now that I've retired, I have a lot of time to read and I love it. But even when I was coaching, I read the Word of God in the morning. I took lunch. Anybody that ever played for me or worked for me knows that during lunch, my office door would shut. Other than that, my office was always open, unless it was a real difficult meeting, but it was always open. But at lunch, I would shut my door, eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, my granola bar and a piece of fruit, and read the Word of God, and then go to practice. And some days act like a madman. Oh, yeah. No. Honestly. No, there were some days where my players left and went, "There's no way that guy's a Christian." There's no way. There is no way that little Mexican guy right there yelling and screaming at us and making us run and demanding excellence and pushing us to excellence and demanding it and demanding it and demanding it. And for you young people that are here, I'm going to give you one bit of advice, the greatest advice I ever received, and I know it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I wasn't even serving him. I wasn't even serving him. Two things. Be on time. That's it. Be on time and do things right. You can ask anybody that ever played for me for 38 years as a head coach. Those were the only two rules I had in my entire program. Be on time and do things right, because you know in your soul if it's right or wrong.
Amen.
You know in your soul. Okay. So here it is. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Has he ever promised to not carry it through? Again, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, there's a lot of things, God, I read in God's word, and I feel that there's a promise. Isaiah 49:23 says, then you will know that I am the Lord. For those that hope in me will not be disappointed. Wait a minute. Then how come last night at 11 o'clock when I got news about my son not getting that job, I was disappointed? How come my daughter spent the weekend with us and she just works down the road. She's at Walden Grove. She's got that dance program, the pack. She's the teacher. Yeah, that's my daughter. That's my daughter, right? And she's a godly woman, and I'm prejudiced. She's a gorgeous little girl. She's a godly woman, and yet she hasn't met the right man, you know? And how come my other daughter, who's married 2 years ago, is having a tough time having children, getting pregnant? So wait. Isaiah 49:23 says, then you will know that I am the Lord. For those that hope in me will not be disappointed. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. So what I see last night when my son flies back from Northern California, drives in, he's lost his mind. He's trying to be a coach. And he's coaching in Texas right now, but he wants to get this job in San Jose. It's a better job, da-da-da, and the guy doesn't make the offer. So he calls me up from Las Vegas last night at 9 o'clock and says, Dad, they didn't make the offer. I said, Mike, and he loves the Lord. I said, Mike, God's will be done, man. God's will be done. But wait a minute. I read every day, man. I've got all the time in the world now. I'm retired. I'm in his word daily, seeking his word, seeking his promises, seeking his precepts, looking for his principles, looking for guidance, looking for wisdom. And it says, then you will know that I am the Lord, for those that hope in me will not be disappointed. Wait a minute. But then it says, we live by faith and not by sight. So when my son comes in the door, flying into Tucson Airport, 11:30 in the night, last night, and I'm staying up for him, my wife and I see my son, and my sight says, wow, I'm disappointed. But my God says, no good thing will I withhold from those whose walk is faithful. So I can either choose to live my life by what I see or by the word of God and what he promises to me.
Wow.
So what I know is way more important than what I see.
Amen.
What I know is that God's word stands eternal. How do I know that? His word tells me that. So why do you know this God? Or why do you follow this God? Or why do you seek this God? Oh, man, come on now. Stop. In the book of Ezra, the nation of Israel had been taken captive by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. It was prophesied by Jeremiah in the 29th chapter. So the nation of Israel is told through Jeremiah, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. If Jeremiah was a baseball coach, he would have had 40 years of losing seasons. Okay? He would have lost for 40 years. Nobody listened to this man. So he would have lost for 40 years. Okay? And yet Jeremiah says to the nation of Israel, stop worshiping for your idols, stop worshiping all these different idols, seek your God, follow your God, and if not, you will be taken captive for 70 years. And lo and behold, it happens. Okay? Again, why do I worship this God? Why, when my son is disappointed last night, do I say, yeah, that's all right, Mike, but you know what? Psalm 84 says, no good thing does he withhold to those whose walk is faithful. I live by what I know or what I see. Again, we live by faith, not by sight. And when my daughter last night says, Dad, am I going to meet someone? Yeah, you are. I don't know when, Pumpkin. That's my little nickname for her. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know who. But my goodness, I know Christy. I know there's a good man for you. I know there's a good man out there for you. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? So the nation of Israel is taken captive, and they've been told you're going to be taken captive for 70 years. You better be careful. You better get your life, get it in order. Come on. Follow your God. Seek your God. And then In Ezra, the first chapter in Ezra, it says, ready? Cyrus, the Persian emperor, gives an edict to the nation of Israel to return and rebuild the temple and rebuild the altar. Come back. Come out of captivity. Come out of captivity and return. Yeah? Cyrus. Isaiah, in the 44th chapter at the very end, and right at the beginning of the 45th chapter, so chapter 44 and chapter 45 of Isaiah, get ready for this now. Some of you already know it. Every time I read it, and I try to read it about two or three times a week, the end of 44th chapter of Isaiah and the beginning of 45th chapter of Isaiah, I try to read it about every two, three times a week. Isaiah, in the 44th chapter at the end and the 45th chapter at the very beginning, through Isaiah, God prophesies and says, I will use Cyrus as my shepherd. He will be my right hand to restore my temple and have my children come back and build my altar. Are you ready for this? That was 150 years before Cyrus was born. Whoa, wait. Come on now. Wait. 150 years? Cyrus's mom and dad thought they named him. Cyrus's mother and father thought they named their son. 150 years. See, I was a history major at UCLA. They taught me how to research. No, they did. They taught me how to research. I was a history major at UCLA. What? See, I came to know Christ through the resurrection. I studied the 12 apostles' lives and went, whoa, wait a minute. These 12 men, they died violent deaths all by themselves, 3,000 miles away from each other. Why didn't one of them say, wait a minute, no. You're gonna flay me to death? I mean, when they pulled out the swords and started getting them sharp, why didn't Thomas say, whoa, what do you need me to say? Because I'm 3,000 miles away from where Peter's at. I'm 3,000 miles away. I'm 5,000 miles away from where Bartholomew's at. So what do you want me to say so I can avoid this death that you're about to impact upon me? I need you to say that you didn't see him come out of that grave. I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? See, those 12 men either saw something that we've never encountered. My father went home to be with the Lord in 2006. Hey, people, I'm going to be honest with you. When I drive back to Tucson today, if I see my dad hitchhiking on the 19, one is I'm picking him up, two is I'm hugging him, but three, I'm going, wow, my life will never be the same. My life will never be the same if I meet my mom who went home in 2013. If I go back home and my mom's sitting outside my house and she's going to go inside and make some tortillas for me, I'm going, wow, mom, that, one is I'm blessed, but hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I will never walk this earth the same again. Those 12 men died violent deaths. Okay? When I was 14 years old, I was in the Persuasions. I'm born and raised in L.A. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. My mom and dad are from Mexico. My dad's from Juarez. My mom's from Agua Prieta. They came to the country, gained their citizenship. My dad worked for 40 years. My dad joined the Second World War was drafted in the Second World War and served 2.5 years in New Guinea in the Pacific Theater. My dad was a great man. My dad he could barely read the English language. My dad worked from 5:30 at night to 3:30 in the morning. Man of integrity. My mother was a farm laborer. She never went to school. My mom and dad never went to school. My mom never drove a car in her life. She never drove a car in her life, not one day. She passed away at 93 years of age. Man, when I think of my mother and father, I go, wow, man, what a blessing they were to me, and they weren't educated. My sister got pregnant at 16. My brother's 11 years older than I am. I'm the babito. I'm the littlest one. Okay? I'm the mama's boy. Yeah, I'm the mama's boy. If my mom would have had her way, I would have gotten married at 18 and moved two houses down and had 5 kids. No, that would have been my life. But instead, I was the guy, the Lord blessed me with leadership skills, to be real honest with you. The Lord blessed me with leadership skills. So at 14, I started hanging around with Chato, my cousin, Chapulin, my other cousins, Manuel, Freddy Luera, Martin Garcia, da-da-da-da. We become the persuasions. We become the persuasions. In the projects that we lived in Rancho San Pedro, where I was brought up, there was the Monarchs, which were all the black young guys. There was the Techniques, which were all the Italians. There was the Chancellors, which were all the Yugoslavians. And there were the Persuasions, all the Chicanos. And in the Persuasions, if I was with Chapulin that night and something happened and we happened to be stopped by the authorities and I knew he did something wrong and I shared that with the authorities, that next day, somewhere in that day, I would be held down. Now, I got a scar on my lip here. Good one. Which I'll give you the story on that. I got a big scar on my lip, but I don't have one on my cheeks. I'm back to the 12 apostles. I'm going to come back to the 12 apostles. They died a violent death. They died violent deaths. In the Persuasions, if I ratted on Chapulin or I ratted on Chato, I ratted on Manuel Luna or Ruben Lucero, chief, big Indian guy, big giant Indian dude, man. Dude was an Indian, big giant Indian. Yaqui Indian. He's a Yaqui Indian. I never knew that. Yaqui Indian. When I took the job here in Tucson, he called me up. Hey, man, I'm happy for you. I said, hey, man. Yeah, Daddy. He goes, yo, I'm a Yaqui Indian. I go, all those years, I didn't know that. You know, I just remember I was thinking, man, that's the biggest Mexican I've ever seen in my life, man. You know, I mean, Mexicans, we're like all 5'7", 5'8". This dude was like 6'4". And I was like, dang, man, what happened to this guy? Anyway, okay. So, but if I ratted on Martin or somebody, I would be held down the next day and they would put a scar on my cheek.
Really?
Mark of the Squealer. In other words, you can't trust him. You can hang with him. That was the Persuasions. That was the little rule within the Persuasions. And I ran them. I led them. I led the Persuasions. Little did I know that the Lord had ingrained in me or blessed me with leadership skills that would one day lead me to 38 years of coaching. But at 14, I got these guys together and said, hey, you know what? Oh, God, I'm so sorry for saying this, but yeah, you let's go out and do this. Let's go do that. Let's go do this. And we weren't selling Boy Scout cookies. Okay? And I led them for 14, 15, 16 years of age. And then I got beat up real bad one night. Me and David LaRiva got destroyed one night. Four other guys just took care of us. I got a big scar. Took care of us. And I remember turning to my mother and father. Well, my mother, because my dad worked till 3:30 in the morning. I said, Ma, I came home. My ribs were broken. My cheekbones all crushed in. My lips. And she said, Mijo, you know, you're going to die. I'm going to find you in the dead one day. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my life, Mom. I'm going to change my life. I can't see if there's too many young people here, but that's where I got. There's one little girl, okay, so I can see. That's where I came up with those two rules. I laid in my bed. No, I got a young guy here. I laid in my bed, and you know what I said? I'm going to be on time, and I'm going to do things right. Because you know what? When I was drinking and smoking and taking drugs at 14, 15, and 16, and coming home at 3 in the morning. See, I had it worked out. My mom cleaned homes for a living. She didn't drive a car, so she had to get up early and get on the bus system. My dad worked till 3:30 at night. So my dad got home at 3:30 in the morning, and he left at 5:30 in the afternoon. My mom went to bed around 9 or 10 because she had to get up really early. So she was asleep by 10:30 at the very latest. And we lived in a house about the size of this little thing right here. So I could hear my mom snoring. And my sister was pregnant at 16, so she went off in her world. And my brother was 11 years older, so he was off in his world. So I was 14, 15 years old, sneaking out and just making sure I got home by 3. Wow. Because my dad got home at 3:30. And you know what? Every night that I was out, be on time and do things right. Every night that I was out, I felt it in my soul. Yeah, I should be home. And every day that I ditched school, I'd leave that campus and I'd go, I should be back in school. And every time I rolled a joint, I shouldn't be doing this. And every time I took some pills, I shouldn't be doing that. Be on time and do things right. Be on time and do things right. But in the Persuasions at Rancho San Pedro in Los Angeles, California, where I grew up, we'd put a mark on you. These 12 men gave their lives up. These 12 men died violent deaths. What did it? Why? Why? For a lie? Ah, they saw a resurrected Lord. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. You know the hardest thing? I gotta be honest with you guys. These phones drive me nuts because whenever I get a new one, I have to ask my children how to use it. I saw you, same way, right? Yeah, me too. I have to ask, hey, Christy, the one that works at Walden Grove, Christy, how do I text on this one now? How do I receive this out? Okay, right? You know what the Word of God says? Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you too shall be saved. You know, that's the easiest thing I've ever known. Wait. There's someone in this room right now that if you say right this second, you're my Lord. I believe, yes, you're my Lord. You're saved. I would encourage you to share that with someone. Share it with your pastor. Share it with your husband. Share it with your wife. Share it with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Share it with your Theo, what? I don't know. I share it with my sister. When I gave my life to the Lord, I went to my sister's house. See, my sister got pregnant at 16. She gave her life to Christ. My cousin Chato, that used to smoke dope like there was no tomorrow, he gave his life to Christ. I was in the Roman Catholic Church. I was the youngest? I used to go to Mass 6 days a week. I was an altar boy for 4 years. See, I knew how to live a lie. I knew how to live two lives. I knew how to live two lives. Oh, man. My mama Minga, my abuelita, she thought I was a saint. Oh, yeah. She thought I was, oh, mijo. And I'd go, mama Minga, ¿cómo estás, mama Minga? Oh, yo, todo está bien, todo está bien. And then that night, I'm out catting around. I had it nailed. I had it down. Sí, como no, como no. Hey, I had it down. I had it down to a T, right? And then I went away to college, and I came back. I used to go to Mass 6 days a week. I used to light three candles, one to St. Leonardo, one to St. Jude. My mama Minga, my grandmother told me to do that. Now I really figured it out. The saint of impossible tasks. I thought I had her fooled. I didn't, okay? The saint of impossible tasks. And then one to my own patron, St. Andrew. I'd go to Mass 6 days a week from age 14 to 25. 6 days a week. I said rosaries every night. I said novenas every night. You want to talk about a Roman Catholic kid? You're looking at him. And I went back to visit my sister one day. I was at UCLA, and I got out of UCLA. I started working as a high school baseball coach in Los Angeles. I went back to visit my sister. But before I visited my sister, I went to my mom's house, and my mom said, oh, mijo, your poor sister, what? She's a Bible thumper. And I went, what? My sister that got pregnant at 16? My sister, her name is Teresa, but we call her Chacha. I said, Chachas? What? Chacha? Yeah. And también Chato, my cousin Richard. Remember, my brother was 11 years older? Well, Chato's 1 year older, so we were like brothers. To this day, we're like brothers. Oh, yeah, and Chato también. Chato also. Chato and Chacha and Chato, they go to this church over there, mijo, and da-da-da-da-da, and da-da-da. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. And I went, wow, that's interesting. So I went to visit my sister, and she shared the gospel. And you know what I did? Hey, ready? You know what I did? Oh, yeah, that's good for you. Hey, good for you. Hey, Chacha, good for you. Hey, I'm happy for you, man. Happy for you. Hey, you got pregnant at 16. Hey, I'm happy. I'm happy. Good for you, Chacha. Keep it up. And then I went from her house about a mile away to Chato's house, well, his apartment. This is a guy that I used to open his door to his little sports car and get high just by the smoke. I mean, I'd open the door and go, whoa, man, Chot. Whew. Damn, roll the windows down. And I go to his house, and he starts sharing the gospel. I'm 25 years old. And guess what I did? Oh, I wish I could say I heard God's call and I answered his call. Because God was calling me. God was calling me. God was calling me through my sister. God was calling me through my cousin, Chato. Two people that I saw lives were kind of messed up. My sister pregnant at 16. I remember that day. Wow. She's 7 years older than me. I remember that day when my mom screamed at her and yelled at her and she cried. And I remember my cousin Chato just being high all the time. And here's one sharing the gospel. Oh, that's good, Chacha. I'm happy for you. And then I go to the other one within 30 minutes later, and he's sharing the gospel. Oh, hey, Chot. Hey, happy for you, man. Good for you, dude. I'm happy for you. Hey, I'll see you guys. And I go back to my place where I lived. I couldn't get it out of me. Couldn't get it out of me. So I went and bought a Bible. I went and bought a Bible. And you know what? Talk about the sovereignty of God. He took me to Job. It wasn't John, it wasn't Ephesians, it wasn't Galatians. He took me to Job, and I'm reading the book of Job going, man, this dude's been through some struggles. And then in about the 11th or 12th chapter, Job says something that turned my life around. Because see, I was a man of God. I was a man of faith, going to Mass 6 days a week, saying rosaries, novenas. See, what I was doing, I was religious. I was religious. I was climbing the wall of religion, climbing it, rosary, novena, rosary. And I'm not knocking the Roman Catholic Church. Listen, Paul says the Jewish faith was a tutor that led him to Christ. The Roman Catholic faith led me to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. The Roman Catholic faith, I'll be honest with you people, the Roman Catholic faith taught me to fear God. The Roman Catholic faith gave me a reverence for God. The Roman Catholic faith gave me a foundation. But I'm thankful for this loving father that knew this young man's heart, that I wanted to know him,
amen,
that I wanted to walk with him, that I wanted to commune with my God daily. And he said, son, don't worry about it. I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you through your sister. I'm going to call you through your cousin Chato. See, my mom and dad didn't know the Lord. That my mom and dad were in the Catholic Church at the time. Okay? And I read the book of Job, and it said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. And I closed the Bible and went, I don't have that faith. Though he kill me, yet I will hope in him. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't have that. My rosaries ain't doing that for me. My candles ain't doing that for me. My novenas ain't doing that for me. I don't have that kind of faith. And I said, I want that faith.
Amen.
I want to be in a tough situation and say, Lord, I'm hoping in you. I want to be in a situation where I feel scared and say, Lord, you are my sun and my shield. I want to be in a situation where, you know what? I see the situation with my eyes and I say, yeah, but you know what? Your word, Lord, says something different, and I choose to believe your word because your word is forever settled in heaven.
Yeah.
I went to my sister and said, Chacha, I think I became a Christian. And she said, what? I said, I think I became a Christian. I asked Jesus into my life. She goes, oh, my gosh, yeah. And I went down and saw my cousin Chato. And then I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to tell my mom and dad? I'm the fair-haired child, man.
Right.
I'm at Mass 6 days a week. Ooh. I got my rosary beads. When I walk in my mom's house, she can see them hanging on my pocket. No. I had rosary. I used to say my rosaries every day. How am I going to tell my mom and dad? And you know what? I finally went. It took me about 3 months. Took me out 3 months. I said, Mom, come to church with me. What? Mijo, what? I said, come to church with me. Come on, just come to church with me. What church, mijo? Because we usually went to St. Peter's, right? My mom did all the linen. She washed the priest's linen and all the rest. I was the altar boy there. And I said, no, Mom, come to church with me. And we went to Walteria Assembly of God. Never forgot it. And guess what? My sister went there. I forgot to tell you that for 3 years, my mom and sister never talked. When my sister gave her life to the Lord, my mom said, you got pregnant at 16 and now you're nuts. And they didn't talk for 3 years. And it broke my heart. And I used to be the person that went between the two of them. And I forgot to tell my sister I was bringing mom and dad to church. And I remember walking in with my mom and dad and my poor sister sitting here, and I'll do it backwards so I don't turn my back to you, but she's looking at the altar or, you know, the front of the church, and I saw her, and I went, cha-cha, cha-cha, and she turned around, or she did it this way, and she turned around, and she went, she hadn't talked to my mom in 3 years.
Wow. Great God.
And my mom and dad gave their life to the Lord that day.
Yeah.
That day. Okay. Now, here it is. Get ready. I'll finish up here. Okay? I have the honor every day. You have the honor every day of worshiping the living God. My routine is I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm just an early riser. Been that way all. My mom, again, remember I told you the story? I used to get home at 3 in the morning, and I thought I had my mom fooled. Huh? I thought I had her fooled. You moms all know that, right? They ain't fooling you. I wouldn't fool them. My kids don't fool me. Remember I told you that? Well, my mom would come in my room and vacuum at 6 in the morning. And I remember saying, Mom, come on, it's early. Mijo, no, levántase, let's go. Come on, get up, let's go, levántase, levántase. Mom, come on, Mom. I wouldn't dare tell her, Mom, I got in at 3. So I, oh, my God, I get up and he's going to struggle through the day. So I'm an early riser. Every day of my life, by your grace, Father God, by your grace, every day of my life, I get up every morning. I got a bad back from throwing batting practice for 38 years. I crawl into that closet. Sometimes I feel like I crawl. I crawl into that closet and I meet with the God that met with David in the caves of Adullam. I meet with the God that met with Joseph in that prison cell every day. How many days did Joseph say, did I have that dream about this? Did I really have that? Why am I in this prison cell? For we walk by faith and not by Joseph. How many days did Joseph wake up in a prison cell and say, did I have that promise? Did I have that dream? And the God that would minister to Joseph on a daily basis meets with me in my closet and then walks with me the rest of the day and gives me hope for my daughter, hope for my son, hope for my brother who doesn't know him yet. Hope for my older brother who I love dearly and still hasn't bowed his knee to Christ. That's the God I get to meet with. That's the God I get to come here today and say, Lord, use me as a vessel. Because you know what? If there's just one of you, if there's just one of you here today and you're broken or you're hopeless or you're down and out, hey, man, lady, come on. He loves you. And you know what it says? You know what it says in this word? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's the easiest thing I've ever done. That cell phone's harder than that. No, working that cell phone is harder than that. Believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, and I'm saved. Wow. Now, can I say one more thing and I'll be done? Don't you dare think it's easy. I think that's the fallacy right now, sometimes in Christianity. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you get a six-figure job. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you meet the prettiest girl on earth. Believe in your mouth and confess with your heart, and all your problems go away. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's the easiest thing I've ever done, and to be real honest with you, for the last 40 years, it's the toughest thing I've ever encountered. Want to know why? Because that world out there tells you go the other way.
That's right.
That world out there tells you there is no God. That world out there tells you go out there and cheat on your taxes. That world out there tells you, I was a college coach, cheat on recruiting. Cheat on recruiting, Coach Lopez. That world out there tells you, yeah, don't worry about that. You can do this. Don't do it. Lie like I'm just doing it. No. It's the easiest thing I've ever done. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And it's the toughest road I've ever been on. Right. But get ready. I don't know any other road that could I ever encounter. And you know what? Hey, and I'm going to be real honest with you, okay? And listen, can I be foolish for just 1 minute? Can you let me be a real stupid fool for 1 minute? Can I please for 1 minute?
Go ahead.
I've been invited to the White House 3 times. I'm in 19 Hall of Fames, okay? At one point, I was the highest paid college baseball coach in America. Okay? I would trade it all to get up tomorrow morning and meet with my God and say, Father God, help my son, help my daughter, help my son, help my daughter. And Father God, keep calling my brother and keep calling my cousin Mark, who's strung out on drugs. Gosh, dang it, Lord. Break that spirit, Lord, please. Call Mark out of that spirit, Lord. Please call my cousin Mark out, Lord. Please. I don't care about the White House. I don't care about Hall of Fames. I don't care about anything. Man, I get a chance to meet with the living God. And so do you. Let me pray with you. Please. Let me pray with you. Father, again, I'm humbled, Father, and thankful. Oh, man. Why me, Father? Why me? Father, I pray, Father, for anyone in this room, Father, that is distant from you and wants to return, Father. Let them feel your warm arms of comfort and your invitation, Father. Let them hear you say, Father, come, come, my child. Come, and let's dwell together. And Father, I ask that you continue to bless this ministry here and Pastor Henry and all he touches, Father God. Let all that he places his hand upon be glorifying to you, Father. And Lord, that you continue to watch over this church and continue to help it, Father, grow and grow and grow. I'm honored and humbled, Father, to be a part of this worship, Father. It was a blessing, Father. I was blessed to worship this morning, Father, and I thank you. It's been a long time, Father, and you know that. It was an honor to worship you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this time. Bless these people, Father. Those that are broken, Father, let them know that you are there. Let them hear your call, Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy burdened and laboring, and I will give you rest. Father, let that rest come now. And again, Father, I pray, Father, salvation, provisions, guidance, and above all, Father, that we would live by faith, Father, and not by what we see. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come here, brother. Come here, brother.
Thank you, brother.
I really, really appreciate it. How many enjoyed this this morning?
Yeah.
Could you just stand? Oh, just stand. And let's just honor our brother for what God has done in his life. One
glory
more time.
God,
say thank God for it.
To God be the glory.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. God be the glory.
If you were blessed this morning, we're going to put his name and address on it. Make your check or whatever. If you desire to give, make it to him so that we can give it to him. And you can send him home with a real blessing. Okay. Isn't it good to hear that it is such an easy thing to give your heart to the Lord and then allow him to take over? Isn't that okay? And walk with him, talk with him. So let's pray one more time. We're going to pray for Brother Andy.
Thank you. I need him. I need him.
Let's agree.
I covet your prayers.
Let's agree for his family.
Yes.
To see that brother in Jesus' name. Father, we just come before you, Father, and we thank you for our brother.
God. Thank you, my God.
Thank you for what you're doing in his life.
Praise
him. Thank you for his children. Thank you for the plans that
you have for his children. Yes, Father, thank you.
Thank you, Father
thank
God,
you, Father.
For the plans that you have for his entire family.
Thank you, Father.
So, God, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And, Father God, we're expecting to hear great and mighty things.
Amen, Father.
Because we have asked a God that is true to his promises.
Amen,
we thank you for health. We thank you, Father God, for anointing.
Thank you,
we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Father.
Do you agree? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
If you gave your heart to the Lord this morning, tell somebody.
Amen.
All right? And give it and shake this guy's hand. Amen. Praise
God.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.